So more about that later, if the Lord allows. Today's series I'm going to continue is the EDU series, Proverbs 4:7, and all thy getting, get an understanding. Everybody say understanding. EDU, education, discipline, good morning, and understanding. EDU, and of course, this is something that this is the spirit of EDU this season because it's August, it's back to school. College, Clemson is about to start. Has Clemson started yet? Clemson is about to start. The NFL has already started, and then next week, many of the elementary schools will start. EDU is a buzzword, but in this series, EDU stands for education, discipline, and understanding. And today I want to talk about or lift or present to you guys EDU moments. EDU moments. What does that mean? Education moments. So when we're reading the Word of God, we can throw the Bible open and whatever wherever it lands, we can get an EDU moment. Everybody say EDU moment. There is something we're going to be able to learn when we open up the Bible. And then I am also proposing this morning that we look for the EDU moments in life. Opportunities to learn in every situation. We win some and we what? No. We win some and we what? And we learn some. Write that down. So we win some. There's no L's in life. We learn. There's no losing. We win some and we learn some. So look for EDU moments in life. EDU moments are all throughout the Bible. You win some and you learn some. What's educational in life's challenges? What can we learn? So life challenges is going to teach us something. Amen. So find the teachable moments in the struggles. In the struggles, find the teachable moments. EDU moments is about being a scholarly Christian. Everybody say scholarly Christian. I'm a Christian. Let's keep growing in wisdom and knowledge, faith and intellect. Faith and intellect can work together. Amen. We don't check our brains at the door because we're Christian. Amen. We're not clueless Christians. The Bible says, ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth will make you free or set you free. Everybody say no. Know the truth. So let's be scholarly Christians. EDU moments today I want to present here in a second. Truth requires seeking and learning. Everybody say seek and learn. All of the students, we're telling the students these days, keep your head down in the books. And perhaps that's a message for us. We need to keep everybody just symbolic of what people say, what parents say, grandparents say, uncles say, boy, make sure this semester you keep your head down. Everybody get your head down. That means the parent wants the student, the child to do what? The semester, which means the D in EDU moments stands for spiritual disciplines. Pray, amen. I'm not saying it's not widely preached about, but perhaps we need to increase the conversation around prayer. Amen? Amen. Conversations with God. So discipline in D and EDU stands for spiritual disciplines. So upping the spiritual disciplines this semester. Let's up it. Pray. Fast. So when I turn to the side, you know when I'm fasting in weeks to come and in months to come, you say, he's been fasting. I'm not on a diet. I've been fasting. You may say, he ain't on a diet. He's been spiritual disciplines. Because the Bible says this kind, some things can be handled, can be straightened out when you what? Fast. Amen? Anybody need God to do something in your life or in somebody else's life? Stop eating and watch God move. All right, so the EDU moment number one. You say, wait a minute now. I ain't going to stop eating. I got to live. You want to live in God, you better stop eating. You ain't living until you stop eating. Everybody say, stop eating and live. That sounds like a song. That keyboard still on? Stop eating and live. EDU moment number one, because I have a text that I want to present. Every text in the Bible is appropriate for this month. Because EDU moment, education, spiritual disciplines, and understanding, that's what we're after, really, just not just this month, but just should be every day. So I do have a text I'm going to pick at. I'm going to agitate. I'm going to pick on, or we're going to enjoy together. But the EDU moment number one, we should know how to rightly divide the word of truth and walk away with what? Understanding. Write this down. Understanding. It comes from a word, binah, B-I-N-A-H. I think I have, yep, I have it on the screen. To separate, to distinguish, to discern. Number two, the ability to see. Everybody say to see. The distinctions, make sense of things, and grasp how they fit together. Number three, binah. This word, it implies insight. Everybody say insight. Discernment. Everybody say discernment. Everybody say comprehend at a deeper level than just knowing the facts. Number four, it's the skill to connect cause and effect. If you do this, understand. Everybody say understand. If you make this decision, this is going to happen. You can't say, police officer, I'm in a rental car today, because remember weeks ago I told you that my car has more lights on the dashboard on than a Christmas tree. I got more lights on in my car than a Christmas tree. So I'm in a rental car today. This rental car, the speed limit, it tells you the speed limit, and then it lights up red when something happens. When it lights up red, what's happening? It lights. I'm speeding? Are y'all being prophetic? Yeah, it lights up red when Alpheus is speeding. It's a car. I'm used to bigger cars, all right? Big guy in a little car. Y'all remember that movie? Little coat. Y'all don't remember that. Anyway, it lights up red. Lex said, it's red. I said, okay, I got to get there. It's red. She just kept saying it's red. And if the blue lights or the red lights came behind me, I could not say, officer, I saw the speed limit, but I didn't understand. What would happen to me? He would say, here's a nice little ticket. I can't say I was on my way. It is possible to know something without truly understanding it, though. I'll talk about that in a second. Proverbs 4:7, that sounds more anointed. Proverbs 4:7 says, read it with me. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means what? The main thing. The primary thing. Therefore, get what? Get wisdom. But, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Everybody say understand. Everybody say understand. So we're standing, but what are you standing on? Understand. What is the foundation of your understanding? That makes sense? So, officer, yeah, I was speeding. My understanding is I need to speed to get to House of Judah. His understanding is you're breaking the law. Amen. In the word of God, there's only, write this down, one meaning, but several applications. There's only one truth. There's only one meaning. So it is all, I always say this, I've said this before, it's dangerous to say, to read scripture and say, what does this mean to you? Because you're going to get what? 15 different meanings. But there's one meaning, but there's definitely one. There's one meaning, but there's different applications. Make sense? It is possible to know something without truly understanding it. Prove it to you. Traffic lights. You know red. You know red means what? But you really don't get an understanding why yellow is important until you almost been in a head-on collision with someone. That makes sense. Technology. Who has a love-hate relationship with technology? You may know how to click and swipe. Or you may not know how to click and swipe. But you don't understand the danger until your bank account gets drained from a hacker. Like, you know, but you don't really get an understanding of how serious it is to protect your technology and your been hacked. Raise your hand if you know somebody that's been hacked. Guess what? They understand. They knew, but now they understand. Budgeting. Everybody say money, money, money. It is possible to know something without truly understanding it. We know we should save money. And all of God's people saying what? But you don't understand compounding interest until your credit card debt doubles in a year. He's like, oh yeah, I need to budget. You know that you need to save money, but you understand when you see more of the red than the black. That makes sense? I understand that. Now I understand I need to what? Exercise. I'm coming down your street. Everybody say exercise. You know running is good for you. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say, but you know running is good for you. And I've been doing a little bit better. I've been doing a lot better. You know running is good for you, but you really don't understand proper hydration until you catch a cramp in the middle of working out. Like, you know you should do certain things, but you really don't understand until you neglect some things. Everybody say neglect. Or you can write this down. Neglect can make you understand. Neglect can make a believer out of you. Woo, neglect eating the right way. You go to that doctor and he's going to say, do you understand? You're going to say, sir, I would. I understand. I understand now. Because neglect can do what? It make a believer out of you. ED, the day is about EDU moments, EDU, education, spiritual disciplines, and understanding. If you don't know what the Bible says about money, sex, identity, suffering, purpose, or truth, guess what's going to happen? If you don't understand, if you don't know, if you don't understand, you're going to make choices based on what feels right. Which is called, write this down, subjectivity. Subjectivity. And that's what's happening in the United States of America. Subjectivity. Subjective. Subjective laws. Subjective choices. Because if you have 50 people in a room, you're going to have 50 different ways of life. Does that make sense? If you don't know what the Bible says about sex, identity, suffering. Suffering. Everybody say suffering. Y'all know we as Christians are not promised a suffer-free life. Amen. So if we don't understand what the Bible says about suffering, first of all, when we sign up to be a Christian, it seems like we sign up to do what? To suffer. Amen. But if you suffer with him, you also what? You reign with him. So that's how people wreck their lives while claiming to love Jesus. They don't understand. They have some people that are going through a lot. I have a family member that has gone through a lot, and she seems to keep this joy on her. Amen. Because it seems like she understands something that many people don't understand, that we're not promised a drama-free life. She says, nevertheless, I'm what? I'm going to give God praise. Perhaps, y'all check this out. I feel like God gave this to me this morning. Amen. It could have been the sinus medicines I took, or it could be God. Disclaimer. But perhaps if we truly, please check this out. Please listen to this. If we truly understand the power of our choices, we wouldn't be so disappointed when God doesn't answer the prayer the way we expect. Selah. That's a real Selah. Feels like eternity. Sometimes he is just simply allowing the harvest of yesterday's decision. Everybody say choices. Choice. Everybody say yesterday's choices. Perhaps he is allowing yesterday's decisions to play out before honoring your today's prayers. I hope that's making sense. We're praying today that God do something today, but God is saying your decisions from yesterday, perhaps it needs to play out first. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm just saying be patient with God and be patient with your yesterday's choices. Just be patient because you signed up for what you're in right now and you want God to bail you out. So be patient with God because obviously God is what? He's patient with us. God may be less interested in changing your circumstance today than changing the choices that create. He may be more interested in changing the choices that created the mess you're in today. Does that make sense? He may be more interested in changing how you come to making these choices, changing your heart, changing your environment. He wants to get to the root of it before he changes the situation. God sure spoils us because sometimes he does look out for us. I think there's a statement that God looks out for babies and fools. How many has been in one of those categories? Like, God, you looked out, my bad, you looked out. But sometimes he will let it play out. Ponder about your life right now. What is your prayer life like? Categorize perhaps what God is allowing to play out first. Perhaps there's something that you're waiting on that God is just needs, I got a lot to get through. Something else has to play out first. All right, let me keep going because I got a lot to get through. I'm here for 2 weeks, not back to back in August, so I may just stop at a good time. Y'all okay? The text we're going to enjoy together today is not a strange text. It's a familiar text, or it's the before a popular text. All right. And so it's in Acts 16. Turn to Acts 16. And everybody, all of us, we want to get to the part in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas prayed and there was an earthquake and they were freed. I mean, that's where I don't know how to hoop and the Bible says. How was that? That was all right. Man, if I could do it right, man, I'll wear that out. But I don't know how to do that. But I do know there's a lot. EDU, the day is about EDU moments. E stands for what? Wait a minute. E stands for what? D stands for what? Discipline, spiritual disciplines. U stands for what? There are going to be a lot of EDU moments in Acts 16. You're going to see some that I don't see. Amen. Write them down, please. I saw quite a few quickly when I read Acts 16. Ready, set, go. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate. Who is we? Paul and Silas, by the way. We went outside the city gate to the river. Read. Where we expected to find a place of prayer. Amen. We sat down. They were very intentional about praying. They went to a place and they expected to go to a place, a corner, a closet to pray. Everybody say prayer is important. That's an EDU moment. Don't miss it. We sat down and began to speak to the woman, evangelism, woman who had gathered there. Verse 14, I'll try not to interrupt. Ready, set, go. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a what? That's an EDU moment. She was a what? She was a worshiper of God. The Lord did what? Open her heart. See what happens when you worship God. God will open up your heart. EDU moment. The D, discipline, spiritual disciplines. Guys, we don't need Brother Lawrence to worship. If we're not worshiping God 365, we're missing out on our hearts being what? She worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to do what? Respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, after she responded to Paul's message, she invited us to her home. I wonder, did she cook? If you consider me a believer in the Lord, yes, she cooked. She said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Yeah, of course she cooked. I'm believing she cooked. I'm just wishing I was Paul and Silas. Saved, sanctified lady's house. I know she cooked. Amen. Ain't nothing like some good food from a saved, sanctified grandma. Amen. All right, get back on track, Alpheus. EDU moment. Write this down. This is an EDU moment. God doesn't play about his son, Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Can you go back to that scripture, sweets? This is an EDU moment because, first of all, I am learning something here. I know this, but now I understand. Remember, the U in EDU stands for what? Shout it out, what? Now I understand when we say Jesus is the what? Only way. Because Lydia was actually doing something noble. She was doing something holy. What was Lydia doing? She was worshiping Yahweh. She was worshiping God. But God opened up her heart to Paul's message. So what's different about Paul's message that has her heart open and ready to receive? That's a completion of what she was already doing. Does that make sense? She's worshiping God, but then now it's complete because what was Paul's message? She was worshiped. The term, write this down. The term worshiping God in the New Testament many times referred to, you don't have to write it down. You can listen back. It's a lot. It referred to Gentiles who were not full converts to Judaism, but believed in God of Israel. So, yes, we believe in God. Amen. But there's only one way to God. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 4 and 12, there is salvation in no one else. Write this down. Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4. She's worshiping God, but she responded to this message. Acts 4 and 12. For there is Eve. So we just got to be careful. We have to understand, yes, we worship God the Father, but even God the Father has set it up where we have to come through who? Jesus. John 14, 6. Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the person that Lydia is worshiping except through me. So even though Lydia was a devout, she was devout in her service worshiping God, her faith became saving faith only when she heard the gospel. Make sense? And the Lord opened her heart. Amen? Did y'all get that? Acts 16, let's keep going. Acts 16, verse 16. Let's keep reading. We're still in Acts 16. Once, so this is Paul and Silas. Read it with me. Ready, set, go. Once when we were going to the place of prayer. There it is again. Go back, sweets, to the other scripture. On the Sabbath day, we went outside to the city gate to the river where we were expecting to find what? That's prayer number one. And then back to the other scripture. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Is that a God, is that a spirit of God that this lady is possessing? Absolutely not. In this context, no. She's not. She has a spirit of the devil. All right, to be frank. She earned a great deal of money for her owners. She had a fortune-telling pimp. All right? By her owners, by fortune telling. Verse number 17. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. Please don't miss this. She followed Paul. She followed men of God. She followed who? The men of God. What's wrong with that? These men are servants of the Most High God who are what? Telling you the way to be saved. And you know she's telling the truth because Lydia was just saved because of what Paul and Silas just said. Amen. She was converted. So you know she's telling the truth. Everybody said she's telling the truth. But she kept doing this for many days. Verse 18. And then Paul got ticked. Where it says here in the Bible, he was annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, what? In the name of the person that I'm preaching about. Do what? Spirit that she is predicting. What should come? What needs to come out of her? That's proof that the spirit that she is predicting the future by is not the right spirit, because Paul is rebuking that spirit. He's casting that spirit out. At that moment, the spirit did what? It left her. You just missed an EDU moment, because two times prayer preceded power. Do y'all see that? Two times prayer preceded power. Everybody say prayer. Before power. So EDU, education, discipline, understanding. Don't miss that spiritual discipline that Alpheus Bartholomew Anderson needs to increase this semester, which is the spiritual discipline of, I'm praying right now. When I get in the car, I'm praying that nobody hits me. I'm praying. I'm always praying. I'm always communicating with God. But I think you guys know what I'm talking about when I say, like, pray. Amen. It's a different, like, pray. I think I don't have to go into that. I'm not necessarily, it's not a tone, it's not a, it's just a certain posture. All right. So the spiritual discipline of prayer is a great EDU moment, because really three times, prayer came before a huge deliverance. In Acts 16, I won't get to all of it today, but just know that maybe next week or next time, we will see the third time that prayer preceded deliverance. Before Lydia was saved, prayer. Before the spirit was cast out of the woman, what happened? Prayer. Amen? And let me give it to you next week or the week after next. Paul and Silas did what in prison? They prayed. What happened? Yes, write this down. The pursuit of prayer should produce a posture of expectation. Please write this down. This is dope. The pursuit of prayer should produce a posture of expectation. I hear you, Lord. You're talking to Alpheus. The pursuit of prayer. Everybody, pursuit. Man, I want to be, I want my bank account to look different. I want other things in my life to be different. I am pursuing a lot. I want to travel. I am pursuing traveling more. But what I am saying right now should take precedent over everything I'm desiring that I just shared with you guys. The pursuit of prayer should produce a posture of expectation. Amen. Let me do one more. Y'all okay? Y'all ready to go? Because I can end this at any moment. Sometimes this is a 16. Because what just happened? What did I just read in Acts 16? Paul and Silas, they cast out a spirit in this woman that was technically telling the truth. They was doing the will of God. But sometimes doing what is right will land you in hot water. Because eventually, well, let's read it. Acts 16, verse 19. Acts 16, verse 19 says, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Big mistake. Everybody say big mistake. Big mistake. A huge mistake. When I come back, I'm going to tell you why it's a huge mistake in details. But this is more of a mistake than the people realize that they are making when they seize men of God. Everybody say, don't mess with me. I'm a man of God, or I'm a man of God. Don't mess with me. You don't really know what you're doing. They seized Paul and Silas. They made a huge mistake. A huge mistake. You're making a huge mistake when you mess with people, the people of God. I'm telling you what I know. and drag them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Huge mistake. I got to tell y'all next time. Verse 20, they brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are what? Jews, and are throwing our city into an uproar. Capping, they capping, lies. Verse 21, by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. So now the crowd join in the attack. Remember the EDU moment was what? When you doing what's right, it will land you in hot water. The crowd join in the attack against Paul and Silas and the magistrates, ordered them to be what? Stripped and beaten with rods. Huge mistake. I'm saying that so when I clarify this next time, you can be like, yep, that was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet and the stocks. All right, so I can't talk about their imprisonment, but I do want to talk about this because the EDU moment was what again? The EDU moment was sometimes doing what is right will land you in hot water. Just ponder on that for 2 seconds. I think I may be finished after this, I think. Sometimes doing what is right will land you in hot water. What did they do? So she told the truth by saying these men are the men of the Most High God telling us the way to be saved. That's actually correct, right? But the owner or her pimp, but what really ticked off her owner or her pimp, her fortune-telling pimp, because they started messing with the money. Write this down, you can listen later. Disrupting demonic dollars will get you thrown into hot water. Everybody say, interrupt demonic dollars, and hot water will follow. Number two, demonic dollars could also be known as influence. Not necessarily money. So you say, man, I don't have enough influence or power to mess with, you know, the money of evil people. But you may have enough power to mess with the influence of people that are doing evil. Does that make sense? Or you may, let me put it this way. Paul and Silas didn't just cast out a demon. They crashed a business plan. And that's what got them locked up. You mess up the plans of the enemy, and the accusations are coming. You hit the enemy where it hurts, because the enemy came to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. You interrupt killing hot water. You interrupt stealing, you're going to be in hot water. You interrupt the enemy's plan to destroy something, you're going to be the victim. It's going to turn on you. Am I making sense? Just be careful when truth threatens power or profit. I'm not one of those haters, guys. I don't like talking about haters. It may be the only time I'm talking about pseudo haters and I'm finished. I hate to end on haters. I'm not one of those, they're hating on me. I'm really not that guy. But as a Christian, when you threaten the power of profit, or when truth threatens the power of profit from the enemy, people will create a false narrative to cover their real motives. Does that make sense? You don't believe me? As Christians, let's keep standing on marriages between what? One man and one what? It's too quiet. I said marriages between, as Christians, we believe. Let me say it in the mic. Marriages between one man and one what? You keep standing on that in years to come. Post about that. Post it. Say it at your job. Amen. Say it at your job and see what happens. Innocent believers become targets. Not for what they did wrong, but for what they did right. Just think about all of the wrongful arrests or the people that got counseled tried to protect unborn babies. in the abortion clinics. They got locked up for trying to do something right. Amen? So doing something right will land you in hot water. It is never a good idea for an adult to marry a kid. I thought y'all was going to shout, amen, like I was a famous preacher or something. I said it's never a good idea for an adult to marry a kid. Because married people do married things. I'm trying to be respectful. Amen. You say that too many. You scream that across America and see what happens to you. let me give us one more EDU moment because it's only 11:43. Y'all okay? Again, tampering with demonic dollars would get you denounced or canceled. And demonic dollars could be influence, could be power, could be whatever he's planning to do. You mess with the enemy's plans, and he's coming for your head. Try to be a light in a dark place. I feel like one of our apps that we took to China was tampered with because maybe in the app or in the message bar, maybe we said Jesus too many times. And all of a sudden, the platform doesn't work anymore. That makes sense. So that's a real life example of us trying to be a light. And even in private, that there's an app that's publicly monitored by a government. If you say the name of Jesus perhaps too much, the app shuts down because there's no explanation for this app being shut down or blocked or not working anymore. That's a real life example. Just ask me about that later and I can give you full details about that because it's connected to our trip to China. Acts 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. Then after several days, this demonic spirit followed Paul and Silas. Everybody say several days. Don't miss this final EDU moment because it's about discernment. Paul, what took you so long to recognize who was in your company, meaning you no good? She followed Paul and Silas for several days. The Bible says this happened for several days, many days. And then Paul became annoyed. You were not annoyed on the first day? Sometimes it's hard to. It took Paul several days to discern the spirit in the girl. It took Paul several days to discern the spirit in the girl. Who's still dating? Anybody dating in the room? Anybody still dating? Y'all don't believe in love anymore? Any single folks? It's single folks.
We waiting on the Lord.
Yeah, we're waiting on the Lord. Y'all, I'm not single. y'all need discernment more than ever. Because you just need to know. Because what she said could be seen as flattery. Okay? Why was Paul so slow in recognizing that she ain't it? Everybody say, she ain't it. Sometimes some spirits don't reveal themselves right away. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know those who labor among you. All right, this is a good place to end. Write this down. I have a lot of ending statements. At least it's going to be ending statements right now. This is good for those who are dating, trying to start a business. You have to partner with people. You have to work with people on your job. You're dating in school. If you're listening, this is good. This is good for A to Z. Not every compliment is a confirmation. This lady is saying these men are servants of the Most High God. That sounds like a compliment to me. Some people will bless you to blind you. Looking good today, sir. Wait a minute. Wait before I receive that. What you after? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Looking good today, ma'am. Man, I like that, man. You gotta write this down. Every praise isn't pure. Some praise are poison dressed in flattery. She says, these men are the men of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Be careful who's calling you great. Alpha, man, you doing it. Wait, okay, that's cool. Man, you rude. No, I'm not being rude. I just see you on some different stuff, and I actually don't receive that compliment. That sounds like I'm being very discerning, right? You know you're discerning when you turn down a compliment. It might be a trap to gain access. Why do they want access? So they can plant a virus. I think it was months ago I lifted the scripture about the enemy came and sowed what? Weeds, sowed tares. And then while men slept, the enemy came and sowed what? Tares. He sowed weeds. And then he went about his way. So how was it able to, how was the enemy in that passage able to gain access? Perhaps he used flattery. Perhaps he did a little something sneaky to get in your head, you to let your guard down to come in and wreck your life. While men slept, everybody say, don't sleep on yourself. Don't sleep on what God has on the inside of you. Protect it. Be careful who's calling you great. God doesn't need PR from hell. Don't mistake demonic praise for a divine partnership. A lot of people are picking at gospel music these days, and a lot of people are praising gospel music or using gospel music or the gospel music sound. So think about everything I just said in context with what the statement I just said. A lot of people are using gospel music or praising gospel music or hiring gospel music sound. Just because they sound spiritual doesn't mean they are sent by God. I don't think y'all heard what I just said. Just because they sound spiritual in this pulpit on your Apple Music, it may sound spiritual, don't mean they're sent by God. Alphys, how can you say that? Well, how can Paul turn around at this lady and say, you may be telling the truth, but I'm casting that spirit out of you. You may be saying, it's possible to sing about a God and a Savior that you don't believe in. So what do we do with that? You cast it out, not the person, you cast out the what? The spirit. So to my musician industry friends, if they ever get this message, perhaps while you are partnering with them that are clearly not a believer, and they're singing about the God that you actually believe in, and you know they don't believe in it, how can you say they don't believe in it? Because fruit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We're not condemning them, but we're absolutely judging them. The same way we say, I'm going to put this on because it looks nice. What you are doing, ma'am or sir, is out of pocket when you juxtapose what you're doing to the Bible. It's easy for you to judge righteously, not condemn. Everybody said there's a difference between condemning and judging. If we ever want to go through life and say, nope, don't judge, let somebody abuse your daughter. Wait a minute, don't you judge. You don't know his heart. Yes, you do. He did something or she did something out of pocket. Everybody says, okay. Why y'all looking at me like that? In that tone of voice. Just because it sounds spiritual doesn't mean they are sent by God. In verse 17, Paul understood that public affirmation from a demonic source would create confusion. And God is not the author of what? Y'all know these collaborations in the industry are confusing people. Y'all know it's confusing people because I see this and then I see this. It's confusing to think. If you're asking me to be compassionate, I'll ask you to be compassionate. Think about the six-year-old Taquisha. Think about the six-year-old that's seeing some of these collaborations in the gospel music industry with the secular industry. It's called secular for a reason. It's called hip-hop for a reason. It's called R&B for a reason. Rhythm and blues is not rhythm and praise. Christian music is not, it's a difference. There's a line of demarcation. That's why we say in the gospel music industry, you crossing over. What would you crossing over to? Something that's different from what we, so crossing over seems to be a good thing. Now it sounds like I'm venting or. But this is very concerning, what's going on, because it's confusing. Paul understood that, listen to me again, public affirmation from a demonic source would create confusion. Everybody say confusion. And that's absolutely what's going on. If you have any sense, if you're listening to the playback, if you have any Holy Ghost on the inside of you that doesn't condemn, but it's absolutely saying, that ain't what I'm about. And in leadership, letting the wrong voices walk with you can lead others to believe you validate what they carry. I'm done. Y'all clap your hands. So we're all the leaders. You got to stand for right, even if you're on your job, if you're in a fraternity and you see them doing some crazy stuff, and you ignore it, what are you doing? You see somebody else bullying and you don't say nothing. What are you doing? You see a family member go and rob a store and you say nothing. You know that's him. You lead others to believe you validate what they're doing. I feel like that's what's going on in America. It's a lot of quiet Christians. Don't want to stir up nothing. Because obviously we're not perfect. No, we're not perfect. Amen? We're not perfect. So your imperfection shouldn't cause you to be quiet. It causes you to embrace God's grace and hate sin in you and hate sin in others. If everybody carried that posture, man, it would be a better world. Because everybody's going around hating sin no matter where it shows up. And we're thanking God for grace because Jesus coming, dying on the cross, kills all of that. It solves all of that. Y'all clap your hands for God's grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We're not going to abuse your grace because we know about and we understand about your grace.